want to say again a good morning and Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope you're having a great Christmas day. As I stand out here this morning, as I think about Christmas, I'm aware that Christmas brings a lot of different responses and a lot of different emotions. And that's become clear to me in talking to some of you through the last few weeks. I wonder what words would be especially evocative of Christmas for you this Christmas. Merry has got to be one of them. Merry Christmas. It's got to be one of the words. It's got to be merry. I wonder what other words you would go for. Here's a bunch of them. See if you can find yourself in these, and maybe you have better suggestions you could tell me as well. So here's a few. Joyful, happy, festive, exciting, restful, or perhaps the opposite because you're getting everything ready. Stressful, hopeful, lonely, perhaps sad, maybe even miserable. Let me put that out there. Love, wonder, generous, peace. I'm sure you get out a whole lot, but there could be a gamut of emotions that come out at this time of year. Even in that small littering of words, you can see that the range of emotions, the range of feelings, it's quite broad, isn't it? And for a number of people here today or connected with us, Christmas is going to be a bittersweet occasion. Because of the loss of someone, we've had a few people in our congregation that we've lost over the last little while, and there's a family that are connected that have lost people as well. But there are other things at play in our world as well that might jar with the season. Bondi happened. Wasn't that terrible? Suddenly our safe, content little neighbourhood didn't seem quite as safe, did it, at that moment as we thought about that. Suddenly we felt like the bad guys as we understood that anti-Semitic violence was in our midst, around us, and on our turf and on our watch. The war in Ukraine, it's still going. China rattles its sabers. All of these things that can unsettle us. And the world and our nation isn't the peaceful, rosy place we'd like it to be. This isn't all going to be doom and gloom. Let me just say that now. Where can we find some peace in the maelstrom of what assaults us? And of course, here's what I want to say. The first Christmas wasn't all merry and joyful. You think about the narrative of what's going on in that Christmas story, and it might surprise you. You see, the cracks in humanity where people are under pressure and things are not so merry and bright rise to the occasion. And that tells me that God is in the middle of the chaos. And that's not something new. It was there at the first Christmas. Matthew's gospel tells us that Joseph quietly seeks to divorce Mary because of the scandal of her pregnant situation. So there's a little bit of tension in a relationship. There's a distinct edginess there, isn't there? There are political upheavals and rumblings. Romans occupy the land, and that's got all sorts of tension behind it. A census is declared. We heard about that in our passage today. Mass population movements occur as a result. People are displaced, upheaved. There's a kid who's killing off infants because of a prophecy about a king. Think about that as a real terrible tragedy in the middle of that narrative. Mary and Joseph lay Jesus in a manger when he is born. It's not five-star luxury or homely comforts, but a strange place amid humble circumstances. This is a family under pressure, providing the best they can at that time. The point that I'm trying to make is that Christmas didn't come in a sealed snow globe situation of people basking in peaceful bliss. That ought to give you hope. In fact, peace seems to be the one thing in short supply that Christmas. Out in the fields nearby are shepherds with their sheep minding their own business. doing their thing, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appears. Boom! And the glory of the Lord shone around them, so that they end up in this terrified state. Apparently, encountering angels, anywhere you see it in the Bible, isn't peaceful. It's terrifying. And that seems to be the case here. But everything about the messages that the angel and angels deliver is good news. First of all, he calms fear by saying, "Don't be afraid." That's a really good start, isn't it? Don't be afraid. I read a Bible commentator who said that the way that comes across is actually like him saying, "Stop screaming. It's okay, because it's such a terrifying situation for them. And actually they need that level of calming." Having addressed their fears, he says, "I bring you good news that will cause joy for all the people." Small little fact, the word for good news there, translated, it's actually the word gospel. Christians speak lots about the gospel, how good it is, how central it is. It's the good news about Jesus. You know that missing piece? It's Jesus. He's at the center. He's what it's all about. It's all about what he has done for his people. And right here, this is an announcement about Jesus coming that is good news, and it's for all the people, and not something to generate fear at all, not in its first instance. It's great news. That's so important to see, that the God of the universe has reached out in kindness to people everywhere, of all classes, of all types, of all situations. His first intent is that people are saved from the things that separate them from him. That there is a Saviour born for them in David's town, Bethlehem. And that he's the long-awaited Christ Messiah, that King that they've been waiting for. It's a small sentence, or it's a few sentences, that are just packed with the goodness of God towards humanity, towards you. David's name's mentioned several times there. That's significant. He wants you to hear David's name. It's like, think about David. David's line was promised to endure forever. Well, that happens through Jesus' eternal reign as king. And the long-awaited Messiah king that is the hope of Israel, well, that's Jesus. It's all focusing centrally on Jesus. So you've got the putting off of fear, the stirrings of hope, and the anticipation of divine purposes afoot, which are remarkable and which are for you. The shepherds are told what to look for: a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Do you know what I spent time trying to understand this week? What's the significance of the sign that they're told? That's the sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Why is that a significant sign? I spent a lot of time thinking about that. And I came all the way back to point one. Even the angels, it's a lowly sign that speaks of the embracing of God's purposes to lowly places. That's all it is. It's look for a simple, humble situation that is God's plan at work. And it's accessible to lowly people like shepherds. The angels appearing to shepherds suggests this embracing of the humble. God has reached low to ordinary people. Well, that's the significance. He's reached out to you and I. It's wonderful news. It's a good news message because he didn't come in a palace that was only accessible to the rich and to the noble. He came in a lowly way that's accessible to even to shepherds, even to you and I. The shepherds then see multitudes of angels before them praising God. And if one angel was terrifying, well, I wonder what a multitude was like. You know, my mind went there and thought, I wonder what that was like for them. But I guess their fears had been displaced by then. Once more, the message is full of good intent and peaceful purpose. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace to all men on whom his favour rests. Gosh, that seems to be what we're looking for, isn't it? peace. Peace. I've always thought that the angel's message to the shepherds is about as concise a statement as you're ever going to get of what Christmas is all about. I reckon they've just like put it into a couple of sentences. And if you want to get a really tight understanding of Christmas, you just look at what those angels say, because it's so tight. It's all there, and it's wonderful. It's truly wonderful. And significantly for our discussion this morning, it's that last statement that I think speaks volumes into our times and into our emotions and into all of our grief and all of our uncertainty and all of the turmoil and the chaos. God has spoken peace into the middle of that. He did that at the first Christmas, and he still keeps on doing that to us now. Peace to all men on whom his favour rests. There's the last hurdle, with whom he is pleased. You know who God's pleased with? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God's favour rests on those who believe in him. Once again, that is very accessible. Faith in God is not for the lofty and the noble, the rich, the powerful. It's to the everyday, ordinary human person. I don't know who needs to hear this today, but if Christmas is lonely, if it's sad, if it's difficult or troubled for whatever reason, and there could be a lot of reasons, I hope that you'll see that God sent Jesus into the chaos of that first Christmas with a great purpose statement of calm and hope and kindness. And I want to say your pain is real and hard, and no one needs to minimize that. But God's mission of mercy into this world, it reaches further and deeper than your pain into the reasons why it exists. In God's perfect plan, there is an end to the unrest of our hearts, because God came to transform this creation, to transform you and I, and our hearts along with it, by the salvation that Jesus brings. It's not a fairy tale. That's why I wear this shirt. Luke 2:1-20, true story. This is the true story of hope for your future, found through faith in Jesus. And you might just need the reminder this Christmas that there is a hope-filled lining to the whole storyline. He's not distant to what you are going through. And he came down low for you. You know, Jesus says once what his heart's like in Matthew 11. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. He's not lofty, proud, distant, high, far away from you. He is gentle and lowly. You can depend on him. And you may have to trust him in this for a while now. You may have to. But he cares very deeply for you. And there is a peace that passes all understanding that is available to you or I through faith in Jesus. So accessible to everyone. Let me pray for that peace for you now. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bind up hearts that grieve. And I pray that you would fill us with joy. A joy that goes beyond current circumstances, because it trusts in the powerful promise of your word and in the truth of the testimony of these witnesses that saw Jesus and were startled and amazed and just completely blown away with wonder at what your plans were for them. And Father, this isn't something that we hear and think of as a story for others from a distance. This is something we hear that came about so long ago, but the tendrils of that reach to us now. This story is for us. Jesus didn't just come for people of that time. The witnesses recorded it so that we would know, so that we would hear, so that we would have hope, so we would know how accessible this is for us, that faith in Jesus truly is not far from each one of us. Thank you that you are that gracious, that you are gentle, lowly in heart. Thank you that no one ever made themselves better before they came to you. And that's, again, the wonder of your grace. Your goodness is accessible to the very worst, to the very lowest, because your grace and your goodness reaches so far. And Father, the pain of whatever people might be going through mightn't disappear this day, but what I do pray is that hope would undergird it. Pray that there would be a rich knowledge of your goodness that fills our days ahead. And I pray as people move off to their Christmas lunches that they would celebrate your goodness and be festive, because it's an occasion for great festivity that you cared about us and came for us. Father, all of this I pray in your name and for your glory. Amen.